Most gracious God, we give you thanks on this day as we gather to celebrate that the tomb is empty and that Christ is risen. And we pray that as we come, that it would be the joy that fills our hearts, that reminds us once again that there is no power on earth or in heaven that can separate us from your love. As death is defeated and overcome, may we experience that new life that is possible through Jesus Christ. So may you continue to bless us with the outpouring of your Spirit, that as your scriptures have been read and are now proclaimed, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you. For you, O Lord, are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So where did you come from to Easter? Now, you may be thinking, well, that's a silly question. We came from our homes like we always do, but I know that some of you have family that are with you this morning, and I know we've got Minnesota and Texas with us, and we've got Winston from Sierra Leone, and we've got people who probably have come from a great distance to be here. We've got people returning from spring break trips, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about where did you come from geographically to be here today. I'm asking that question of spiritually, where are you coming from to Easter this morning, this Sunday, this year? You see, every year that we celebrate Easter, every year that you've been to church to worship on an Easter, you've probably come from a little bit of a different place. For some of us, coming to Easter worship is kind of like the Super Bowl of the church, or the NCAA championship, or the Masters, or the Oscars, any of those huge events that culminate in one event, one day, or one circumstance. And so we come to Easter celebrating that the tomb is empty. But how we come can vary. For some of us, it's something we look forward to every year. It's something we grew up knowing and doing. It's something that we've experienced and we know the truth of. And so we look forward to it. And we come with joy and excitement and anticipation, looking forward to singing those favorite hymns that proclaim that the tomb is empty and that Christ is risen. For some, it may come with a little bit of skepticism. I've read those stories, I've heard that, but I'm just not sure about that. For some, it is that joy and excitement. For others, it may be a time in which we come in a season that's heavy because we're carrying some grief. We're carrying some hurt. But nonetheless, we've come. And we're here. We come to see and experience for ourselves. In our scripture reading this morning, we have stories of three of those first witnesses to the empty tomb. Three of those people who came to the tomb looking for something. I'm not sure it was joy and excitement that brought those first three. I'm not sure that their hearts were glad and they were excited to be going. We encounter Mary Magdalene, who we're told goes while it was still dark and discovers that the stone has been rolled away and the body of Jesus isn't there. She goes and gets Peter and John, and they have this race that takes them to the tomb, and we're told that John gets there first. Peers in. Bold, brash Peter comes and charges straight into that tomb and finds the burial cloths neatly folded and lying there. John gets up the courage and he steps in, and we're told that when he sees this, he believes. Got three people coming from different places themselves, of hurt, of doubt, of confusion, and three of them experiencing something different. We've got one who comes and sees and walks away scratching his head, not sure what to think. We've got John who looked and saw, and we're told that he believed, and we've got Mary who just stands around, not sure what to think. Mary is counter to what we often hear people say, that seeing is believing, because she turned and says she saw Jesus, but she thought he was the gardener, and said, "Where have you put him?" And she has a conversation with him, and she finally recognizes who he is when he calls her by name, Mary. And at once she knew that it was the Lord. I suspect if we think about the reactions of Peter and John and Mary, we can find ourselves in that story, in one or all of their shoes at different times. But like Mary, how many of us are waiting to hear our name? How many of us are waiting to hear for the Lord to call out and say, David, Donna, Barbara, Jim? How many of us are waiting to hear our name called out by the Lord that we might know that it is Him who is calling us to faith in the one that the grave could not contain? Through this season of Lent and leading up to today, we've talked about what we can do to participate in rehabbing and reordering our spiritual lives. And I mentioned it again last week, but I wanted to share with you again, and for those that weren't with us, that on Ash Wednesday, that marks the beginning of this season, during our service, we had broken pieces of tile. I went to Lowe's and I bought some 12-inch ceramic tiles. I'll confess, I had a lot of fun cracking these up with the hammer in the garage. It was a little bit therapeutic. But we asked people to use a permanent marker and to write on a piece of tile a brokenness that they carry, a brokenness that maybe no one but they know or recognize about themselves, something that maybe they've not even shared with another person. And they wrote those down. And we had a basket up here, and we asked people to place them in there, of surrendering that to God. We've come through this season talking about what it means to be rehabbed, and most importantly, to be redeemed. And the cross before us this morning is the result of that. In the body of this cross are all of those tiles that were turned in on Ash Wednesday. And you can still, through the glaze that's on them, make out some of the things that were written. Guilt, self-doubt, anger. But it's been transformed. People brought forward their brokenness. They offered it to God, and God redeems our lives as these broken tiles have been redeemed. Much thanks to Nicole Andre for creating this for us. She understood my vision and she was able to help illustrate for us an example of what redemption is. That God takes us with our pointy edges, our cracked pieces, bearing our hurts and our pains and our brokenness. And God transforms them. In this piece, the edges have been softened. There aren't sharp, pointy pieces anymore. And not by coincidence, Nicole was able to arrange these to the point where the broken pieces fit together, much like we do as a part of the body of Christ. And you can see through the layers that those hurts, those pains, haven't been erased. But they've been transformed. They've been renewed. They've been made a part of something greater. The invitation of Easter is for us to come to the empty tomb. However we come, wherever we come from, a place of faith, a place of doubt, a place of confusion, a place of uncertainty. But when we come, rest assured that we will be changed. Because Christ encounters us there and reveals to us that His plan doesn't involve us individually existing with our brokenness and our hurt. His plan is that we would be redeemed and be a part of something greater. To be a part of the church, to be a part of the body of Christ, to support and encourage one another, to realize that Those hurts will be redeemed. That brokenness will be healed. It's much like an injury. It's much like a cut. That it does heal and it leaves a scar. But the scar still represents wholeness. God's redemption that is offered to us through Jesus Christ is one in which things aren't made perfect. Things aren't undone. Things aren't erased. But rather, they're made new. They're made whole in a new and a different way. And so we come to Easter again, trusting that God will meet us here. Trusting that the tomb that is empty can and does bring redemption to our lives. So thanks be to God who loves us. Thanks be to the God who calls us by name. And may we go forth from this place declaring, as Mary did, that we have seen the Lord. Amen.